Genesis chapter 4. While you turn, if you remember to pray, I appreciate your prayers on Tuesday. I'll be preaching twice out in Brooklyn to a high school out there and a middle school, a Christian school out there. And I have a feeling I may be preaching Tuesday night too, but I'm not sure yet, to the church out there, international. But I appreciate your prayers while I'm preaching out there. Hebrews chapter 11, we began our series last week on faith. Last week we looked at the inner workings of faith in the first three verses. Today we're going to look at one verse in Hebrews, and then we're going to see the parallel scripture over in Genesis chapter 4. And tonight we're going to look at the offering of faith, the offering of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, the Bible says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Powerful, powerful verse there dealing with Abel. And if you'll turn back to Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the first fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. It came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him." Again, the offering of faith. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for, Lord, the opportunity to come back tonight. Lord, many of us are weary. Father, many have a weary work week behind them and ahead of them. Lord, they, Lord, understand the importance and the necessity. Father, the responsibility of being faithful to church and this local body of believers. And God, I just pray that you would take this message, Lord. Father, just ask, Lord, that you give me the right words to say. Father, Lord, more than that, I pray that everyone here, Lord, would have the right ears to hear. That, Lord, we would get what we need out of this message. Lord, we pray for our faith to be strengthened, increased, our knowledge of it to grow, Father, the wisdom of it to be applied. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody once said, "A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted." There's going to be times when your faith will be tried and tested, and it will be in those moments that reveal the true strength of your faith in God. In other words, a faith that costs you nothing accomplishes nothing. But those moments that you do have your faith tested and you do have your faith tried will come at a cost to you personally. When I think of this church, it cost my wife and I something to get this church started. The involvement, the work that went into it, the sacrifice that went into it, the faith that went into it, trusting God. I'll never forget that Sunday afternoon when I was still working at Rossi's Pizza over there on Lehigh Street, and he was closed on Sundays, and I met with a couple of families, Brother Frable being one of them, on a Sunday afternoon when I was 27 years old. And I said, "I'm going to be starting a church on Easter Sunday." And they looked at me, Brother Frable, the Rompilla family, Dorothea and Florence. I don't know if you remember them. There was somebody else there, I don't remember who. But I met with them and told them I was going to start a church. And they all said, "Great. When?" And I said, "Easter Sunday." And they said, "Awesome. Where?" And I said, "I have no idea. I will let you know, TBD, to be determined." And just all that was involved with that. I remember as I was driving around trying to find a place to meet, we had our Mercury Grand Marquis at that time, the big boat. Grayson was about 7 months old. And I had driven by the church that we actually started using. I had seen the building and thought, oh, it's owned by somebody, and went down back behind it there and came up to the stop sign and was looking in front of me and looking at the factory there on the side of me and didn't pay attention to the fact that there was a road off behind me in my blind spot, and I just pulled out. And next thing I know, my front bumper is going down the street. And a box truck had swerved around me. Thankfully, there was no cars coming this way. But he swerved around me, and the corner, the gadgets to control the lift on his truck caught the corner of our bumper and just ripped it right off. And Grayson was in the back seat, sound asleep, didn't stir one bit. He slept through the whole thing. And I remember that, and I remember many of the challenges that we had going up to that and meeting there. You know, we didn't receive a bill or a check for our step of faith. We didn't even know up front what it would entail. But faith told us to step forward, and in doing so, we presented, if you will, the offering of our lives into the hand of God. And it's interesting that the first life here in Hebrews chapter 11, the very first life we study as we move our way through this chapter, and we'll go all through it verse by verse here over the next several weeks, is a man who's known for giving an offering to God. Abel. And again, we read the story in Genesis chapter 4 in the first 8 verses. God had given a commandment to bring a sin offering of blood. The blood had to be shed. No other offering would be accepted. God clearly spelled out that commandment. Abel understood it. They learned it through Adam and Eve. They know it. They knew what was going on. Cain made a choice not to bring what God commanded him to bring. He brought the offering he wanted to. He brought what he thought was acceptable and not what God commanded would be acceptable. And so God rejected Cain's offering and God accepted Abel's. As a result of that, Cain killed Abel. Had Abel had a gun, that would not have happened. Contrary to what Pierce Morgan says. Anyway, here we find God bearing witness to the fact that while Cain despised his brother and the commandments of God, Abel did not. Abel didn't despise God. Abel had faith in God's word and what God said, and Abel chose to obey without hesitation. He did what God commanded him to do. And I believe in this day and age that God is looking for some 21st century believers who will be willing to offer by faith what has been commanded by the Lord. Whatever God expected in His Bible, expected in His Word, is still the expectation for today. And even though people in the Bible sacrificed and offered, doesn't mean we're not supposed to. We, you and I, are still also responsible to offer ourselves and monetary offerings, spiritual offerings, praise and prayer and worship and thanksgiving, physical offerings as far as our time, our service, our witness. These are all offerings that you and I are to offer unto the Lord. Matter of fact, Romans 12:1 tells us we're to offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto the Lord. So it is commanded. And even James wrote over James chapter 2, he said, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Spoken faith is vanity compared to a living faith. Everybody talks about having faith and how they have faith. But let me tell you something. Talking about it doesn't mean you have it. Living it. We sing the song, living by faith in Jesus above. That is our responsibility, to have a living faith. What is to be offered by faith, and what does it cost the believer to live by faith? Tonight we're going to look at 3 building blocks necessary to construct a faith that is prepared to offer willingly to the Lord. What are these three areas or these three components that I need in my life, that you need in your life, if we're going to have a faith that offers willingly to the Lord? That very first person that is used in Hebrews 11 is a man who brought an offering. Is what you offer to God by faith. Is what you give of yourself or your money or your time or your talent, do you do that by faith? What is the reason that you do that? How do you do that? Why do you do that? How often should you do that? Number one, let's look at the object of our faith offering. The object of our faith offering. What is being given and to whom is it being given? Abel didn't exercise his faith in order to build up himself. Abel didn't offer these sacrifices so he could say, look at me. Abel didn't offer these sacrifices so that he could have a position. Abel's motive was completely different altogether. And that's the difference between Abel and a lot of Christians today, is we want to do something for God, we want to offer something for God, but we do it with the mindset of recognition. Abel's motive was to bring pleasure to the Lord with his life. Is what you offer, you know, I hear people talk about tithing, and they always try to sell tithing on the basis of God's going to give you something in return. And that's fine, the Bible teaches that, but what about just giving to God because you love God? Amen. Brother Chuck talked about being married. He said, you give. It's a life of giving, and in return, you get back. But the truth is, and you just give. You just give. Why? Because that's your love. That's what you're willing to do. That's that sacrifice. That's that offering. When we talk about the object of our faith offering, when we talk about what is being given, to whom is it being given to, first thing, it's a portion of ourselves. That's what is being given. When we're talking about an offering of faith, we're talking about a portion of ourselves. If we look here in Genesis chapter 4 at Abel's offering, we see it was a personal offering. It was his. If you look in verse number 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. It was personal. God's not interested in how much we present as he is in how much we withhold. God wants to know, are you willing to give? The Lord desires much more than some feeble offering. God is always, when it comes to offering our faith, God is always aiming for your heart. Why? Because it's personal. Does God have your heart? Have you offered your heart to God as an offering? David, in the Bible, while I'm talking, let's all turn to Psalm 51. We'll look at several passages of Scripture here quickly. Psalm chapter 51, while you're turning there, I'll give you the background. David had committed two very grievous sins. He committed adultery, and he committed murder. The law in the Old Testament made provision for adultery, but for murder, there was no sacrificial provision. There was nothing that was offered. There was nothing that David, because of his murder, could offer unto the Lord. But if you look at Psalm 51, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, for thou, David talking here, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, there are so many things that Christians try to do to appease God, but God lets us know that it starts with your heart. Over in Joel, I believe it is, it says, rend not your garments, but to rend your heart. And how that's where it starts. It ought to be personal. It's not something we just pay off, but it's something that is meaningful to us because it's personal to us. When you talk about offering and offering of faith, it starts with you. Does God have all of you? Are you offering all of you? Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We see this put into action here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, this is what pleased the Lord about the offering of the people of Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I begin reading in verse number 3. The Bible says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." That's that offering. It starts with themselves. It starts with their heart. The object of their faith offering, the object of their faith was, it's personal. I've got to give me first. Let's look at another passage. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. You know these verses, but try to catch the connection and how they're all tied in together. In Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your," there is again, "heart. There will your heart be also." It's not about the gift primarily, it's about your heart primarily. It starts with your heart. I preached a message many years ago, "All your heart is a good start." That's where it begins. Let's look at one more. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll look at the first two verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." So when we speak of an offering of faith, God is not concerned with receiving an offering as he is with receiving a little more of you and a little more of me. Your affection, your attention, your adoration, your trust, your faith. I've learned that those who struggle with the desire to give financially also struggle with the desire to give themselves. You find me anybody, I don't care where they are or where they are in life or whatever is going in front of their life, you find me somebody who struggles with something that I consider as elementary as tithing, just as simple as you just give God the tenth. It's just what you do. It's, you know, it's not a hard thing. Just do it. But those who struggle with that are the same ones who struggle with giving their whole heart to God, giving themselves to God. Because it starts with God. I shared a story about the preacher who was talking about raising money to support missionaries and raising money to take on different things, and he had the offering plate sat out in front of the church there, and people came up and put the money in, and a little six-year-old boy got up out of his seat, came up and sat down in the offering plate and didn't move. And the preacher said, "Why are you sitting in the offering plate?" He said, "I don't have any money, but I can offer myself." Yeah. Now, you'll find if you put yourself in the offering plate, it wouldn't be so hard to write a check and put it in the offering plate. Why? Because it starts with you. You'll find that it wouldn't be so hard to be faithful and go soul winning and just all the different areas that we can. It won't be hard to praise God when God has your heart. It won't be hard to give a testimony when God has all your heart. It won't be hard to thank God when God has all your heart. It starts with God having all of your heart. It starts with you. Second sub-point there would be a presentation to the Father. Again, the first one would be a portion of ourselves, but when we're talking about the object of our faith, what's being given is us, and who are we giving it to? God, our Father, a presentation to the Father. The Bible says that Abel offered this offering unto God. That's who the offering was for. It was unto God. This was not an offering of faith made to appease some leader. This was not an offering of faith that was given unto a church.
This was not an offering of faith that was given to a denomination or given to save the whales. Not against any of those things, but again, when we're giving to the Lord. When I think of my tithe check or missions, whatever that's going in there, it might be for a church or for missionaries, but you know who it's ultimately to? It's to God. Amen. It's to God. It's to honor Him. It's my offering to God because God has my heart. And if God has my heart, then it's not a problem for me to present an offering to God. And that's exactly what Abel was doing here. It was an offering that was given to God. Faith offerings that please the Lord are always given to Him. People who struggle with giving, again, we'll just stick with the idea of financial giving, those who struggle with that always think about, well, it's going to the church. Well, it's for the pastor. Well, they're all about money over there. Well, it's to this, it's to that. No, it's to God. It's to His work. It's to the church so that the church could do more things for God. In Psalm 27:6, the Bible says, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." How many times in life do we give offerings unto something or somebody other than the Lord? We need to think about my offerings being personal. They're from me. They're from my heart. I'm offering me, but I'm offering it to God. That's the object of our faith offering. Number two, let's look at the measure of our faith offering. Now, as we're talking about the measure of our faith offering, what is the makeup, if you will, of a true offering of faith given unto the Lord? What makes that a true faith offering? What does God look for in a more excellent sacrifice? What is God looking for? What made Abel's offering acceptable and Cain's unacceptable? What's the measure? What's the way that God determines what's the right kind of offering and what isn't the right kind of offering? A couple things to look at. First of all, it's measured by sacrifice. It cost Abel something to continue living by faith. Again, verse number 4, Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof." He had to raise that lamb. He had to love and care for that lamb and feed. Notice it says the firstlings. That means the best of his flock. He raised and took care of that lamb, and he gave God the firstlings right off the top. Gave God exactly what he knew he needed to give to God as an offer. And it's the same thing in a sacrificial spirit of our offering that our faith is truly measured. When we think about our offerings, is it sacrificial? And the truth is, I'm not talking about a sacrificial offering above your tithe. I'm just talking about offerings of faith in general. Our lives living by faith. Do we sacrifice when it comes to our lives in living for God? I dare say most of us don't do that. Most of us do what we have to do, but not to a point where it's sacrificial. Romans 14:23, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Is sin. Sometimes we preachers, and I've heard preachers say this, and it's always bugged me when they say it, "If you don't believe, just try God out and see if He's faithful." I've seen billboards that say, "Try Jesus." I believe we do more harm than good when we make statements like this. I like this one. Don't try God, trust God.
Amen. That's right.
Trust God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." So you can't try Him. Trying isn't scriptural. It doesn't work. We please God when we live by faith. And the Bible says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So if I'm going to offer an offering of faith, God is measuring that offering by my sacrifice. Am I putting myself out there to trust God? Or am I just doing what's comfortable? Am I just doing what's convenient? Am I just doing what everybody else is doing? A faith that is pleasing to God is always sacrificial in spirit. When Jesus observed the offerings being given at the temple, he took note. When he saw what was given, he took note. Not of the largest amount. It's amazing. We look at large amounts. God doesn't look at large amounts. God looks at large sacrifice. See, you may put in a bigger amount than somebody else, but somebody else may be sacrificing more than you are. The Bible says in Mark 12, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. If we were sitting there, we'd be like, did you just see what they put in? Wow! That's a lot. They must really love God. Can you believe how much money they put in? Then the Bible says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples. See, again, you gotta just picture this. Here's Jesus. I can picture him just leaning up against the wall. He's on his iPhone. Just leaning up against the wall. And he's watching the people come and put their money into the treasury. And they're coming, and rich people are dumping their money. And all of a sudden, this little widow woman comes and drops in like two pennies. If that. She drops it in there. And I can picture Jesus just leaning, and all of a sudden, seeing that, going, you guys, come here. Come here. Come over here. I want to teach you something. And he says to the disciples, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And then he establishes or explains why he says that. He says, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. To match what that poor widow woman gave, all the rich people would have had to give everything. To match what she gave, because that's what she gave. She gave all her living. I think, Brian, I think you were with me when we were at a Brother Jenkins camp meeting, and they had that crazy 3-hour offering. They called it the Billy Sunday offering. And I mean, people were giving their cars. Married women are putting their wedding rings in the offering plate. There must have been 700 cell phones that were given. But one of the college girls emptied out her bank account to pay for her school bill and wrote a check out, put it in the offering plate. And I remember talking to Brother Jenkins about it later on in a personal conversation, how he shared with me that if you were ever there, you saw their treasurer was up there and some of the men, and they got the calculator and they're adding it all up and telling people, I mean, it was like $30,000, $40,000 that was offered there in one offering. And I remember talking to Brother Jenkins about it, and he and the men, you know, talked about if this girl, like, she can't go to school. That's what she's here for. She's here to go to school. You know, do we tell her no? But yet, is she trusting God, taking a step by faith to honor God? You know, Brother Jenkins said they just can't decision. You know, she's making a decision to trust God. And we can't get in the way of that, and just let her trust God and see what happens. And it was amazing how somehow word spread around, and by the end of the week, preachers that were all there and other people, because of her sacrifice, gave her money to pay off her entire semester. How God stepped in because of her choice, her decision of faith. Somebody made the statement, God is not looking for equal giving, but equal sacrifice. We always sacrifice to that which is important to us. So it's measured by sacrifice. Think about your life. Everything that you can offer to God. Everything about you as an individual. Not us as a church, you as an individual. Think about everything you offer to God and then answer the question to yourself, is my offering a sacrifice? Or is it just the extra time? Is it just something that didn't really cost you anything? Or is it a sacrifice? It's not only measured by sacrifice, but let me also say it's measured by excellence. Abel's offering was an excellent sacrifice. Here's why. Because it was an obedient sacrifice. It's not about being better than somebody else's. It's about just being obedient. Cain's sacrifice was rejected because his offering, his sacrifice, was not according to the direction of God. It's not what God told him to give. In order for man's sin to be covered during the Old Testament, God made a provision for sacrifices. It had to be a blood offering. And according to the law, sin must be atoned for or by with blood. It's the only acceptable sacrifice. So in the Old Testament, until Jesus came, until the promised Messiah would come and take away sin, God's people had to cover their sin with substitutional sacrifices of blood. That was the way it happened in the Old Testament. Excuse me. Abel brought a substitutional blood sacrifice. Cain brought a works sacrifice. Abel said, here's the blood, the firstling of my flock, I'm giving it to you, it's what God demanded. Cain said, I've been working hard at tilling the ground and taking care of all of this, here God, I'm giving you what I worked for. God always rejects a work sacrifice when it comes, God just wants obedience. God wants us to do what he says. And again, we understand, God didn't like Abel more than he liked Cain. The Bible tells us that God, in 1 Peter, that God is not a respecter of persons. So it's not a matter of God saying, I like Abel, but I don't like Cain, so therefore Cain, I'm rejecting your offering. Don't ever think, well, you know, God's not happy because I'm not putting in as much as so-and-so. It's not about you compared to anybody. It's about you. Is your sacrifice out of obedience? And is it a sacrifice? With God, it always boils down to obedience. God always honors obedience and dishonors disobedience. It's just the way he has it here. And we see it here in Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says in verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, hey, Cain, just do it the right way. Do it the way that I commanded you to do it, and you'll be fine. If you don't do it that way, sin lieth at the door. You and I need to be warned and need to understand that we cannot appease God with a mere show of an offering. It's got to be one that is obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Whatever it is you've committed to God in any area of sacrifice and living by faith and an offering of faith, it starts with our hearts. God, I'm giving you me first. And then God, I'm looking at my life and I'm looking at some things that I can cut out to give to you. You ever think about how much extra money you'd have if you kept your tithe to yourself? Brother Glenn handed out the statements here in the last week or so. If you haven't gotten yours yet, see him. But I look at that and I'm like, wow. Man, I could have brought six Lamborghinis. I'm kidding. That's a lot of money. Now, I also understand that if I didn't give that, I could have ended up paying for a lot of other things that I didn't necessarily need to be paying for. But I've learned this, you can't outgive God.
Amen.
And even though there are times that writing out that check is a sacrifice, it's a sacrifice of obedience. It is a sacrifice because it costs us something. But also, when we talk about an excellent offering, it's an obedient offering. God, I'm doing this because I know what the Word of God says. And God, it may be, excuse me, a sacrifice to go soul winning of my time, but it's okay, God, because you have my heart. I give to missions because you have my heart. And I give up my time because, God, you have all of me. And God, I don't mind that sacrifice. The measure of our sacrifice will be determined by, or our offering will be determined by, it's a sacrifice, and if it's excellent. Look at, again, we talked about looking at our lives and what we offer to God and saying, is it costing me something? Is it a sacrifice? But I also want you to ask yourself, is it an excellent offering? In other words, let me put it to you this way. If you, and again, I'll use giving, if you give X amount of dollars, and that's fine, that's wonderful, but has God been challenging you to do more? If you hand out one gospel tract a day, and that's wonderful, but is God asking you to do more? See, here's what we tend to do. We tend to justify our choices because we compare it to what other people are doing. did this, and I know nobody else is doing that. But that's not, no. You, Abel didn't say, well, I'm doing better than Cain, so I'm doing all right. Maybe I'll just back off for a little bit. No, Abel said, I'm responding to God the way I know I need to respond to God. I enter to God, and that's it. And so I'm going to do what's right. Thirdly, we see the witness of our faith offering. The witness, not only the object of our faith offering, and not only the measure of our faith offering, but also the witness of our faith offering. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. Again, verse number 4, by faith, Abel offered. By faith, Abel's offering was done by faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And then it says, and by it, that sacrifice, that faith, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. A life of faith is not bound by its lifespan here on earth. That's not the only time that faith exists, or that life of faith. When we offer unto God through faith, we bear witness to the Lord. It doesn't go unnoticed. God sees it. God sees a couple things. God sees that we are his people. We sacrifice for that which is important to us. Buying a basketball ticket to go watch a game. I remember I took my brother for his birthday, and we went down and bought tickets and watched Michael Jordan play his last game as a Bull down in Philadelphia, and got to watch that. And, you know, there are those where, you know, they'll go and, you know, spend money and go watch a UFC fight, get it on pay-per-view for whatever it is now, $750. It's all the crazy things that, you know, we do. And the truth is, we're willing to hurt when it's something that's dear to our hearts. We don't mind making that sacrifice when it's something that's near and dear to our hearts. And when someone is willing to go without so that others may hear the gospel, so that missionaries can plant churches or their local churches can take steps of faith, it's a witness that we are truly the righteous or God's people. When we say, you know what, I'm going to give to missions. I'm going to serve in my church. I'm going to take a step of faith and present me as an offering to God, that separates us from what the world sacrifices for. They're renting out homes. The Super Bowl coming up on February 3rd. Where's it going to be? I can't think of where the Super Bowl is going to be. New Orleans, thank you. There are people who are renting out their homes, listen to this, for that weekend of the Super Bowl. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday night's the Super Bowl. They're renting out their homes for $20,000. $20,000 to rent out their home for 3 days to watch a football game that lasts 3 hours. And people are scoffing them up left and right. And that's not even counting the cost of the Super Bowl ticket, and the food, and the traveling, and all the other expenses. And again, hey, if people have money to do that, that's fine. Knock yourself out. But there's something that separates the child of God differently, because when we look at our expenses, we measure our expenses up against God. Is this investment pleasing to you? God, I want to make sure this doesn't hurt my regular offer. God, I want to make sure this doesn't hurt what I give to missions. God, I want to make sure this doesn't hurt my involvement in something that honors you, God, in paying my bills. There's something different about that. That offering. I'm amazed that people who tell me how much they struggle with giving are the same ones that have more DVDs in their house than Netflix owns. They got more CDs than a music store. And they eat out 16 times a week. And just, you know, and I'm thinking, money's really not a problem with you. Spending on stupid stuff is a problem with you. Luke 5, 27 and 28, you know the verse, after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. There was something about those disciples that dropped what they were doing and followed God. You know, I shared this little illustration with you a while back, but I just thought it was so apropos for now. if it became illegal to be a Christian. So let's say Obama passes a law that says it is illegal. Not too surprising, right? If he passed a law that says it is illegal for you to be a Christian. And thinking about that for a moment, the fact that you go to church is inadmissible in court. You cannot use that to back up your belief as a Christian. What other evidence would the prosecuting attorney have to convict you? If you were arrested for being a Christian, you were brought into court, and you could not use the fact that you went to church. What else could be used by the prosecuting attorney to convict you? Or, think about it this way, are you giving your defense attorney more evidence than the prosecutor? You say, as you present your case that you're a Christian, you say, you go soul winning. And they come over and they say, well, so do the Jehovah's Witnesses. So do the Mormons. Time Warner Cable goes door to door. Politicians go door to door. So, you go door to door. Okay, can't use that one. I pray. That makes me a Christian. That's right there. I pray. Well, so do the Muslims. So do the Buddhists. So do the Hindus. Praying is not a mark of Christianity. All false religions claim to do that. So I can't use church. I can't use going soul winning. I can't use praying. I got it. I own a Bible. So does every hotel room in the country. Can't use that one. So the prosecutor digs a little deeper. He says, or you defend yourself and you say, I live a holy life. It's a good answer. That would be something that would separate you as a mark that you're a Christian. And the prosecutor presents Exhibit A, your movie collection, your CD collection, your preset radio stations in your car. So you'd be surprised. I've listened to David Gibbs, the head there of CLA, talk about how many people claim to believe certain things and practice things as a Christian, and he's watched the court and lawyers absolutely destroy because of people's lack of consistency in their Christianity. Well, there goes living a holy life. Here's some Facebook statuses that you put up. That doesn't sound like a holy life. Here's what you listed as all the things that you like. Here's the pictures you keep putting up on Facebook. I don't see a holy life in there. Is that what a holy life means? Well, that one doesn't work. The defense attorney says to the prosecutor, my client, talking about you and I, my client is a moral person. The prosecutor comes by and says, well, I'd like to present Exhibit B. Here's your wardrobe. Here's the clothes you wear out in public. That doesn't show much morality. That doesn't show much decency. Here's your boyfriend. Here's your girlfriend. You're moral. Again, here's your social networking. Here's your friends. I have you on YouTube with your friends. Look at the language you're using. Your worldly vices. Prosecutor or the defense attorney says he's honest. And the prosecutor says, not according to his tax return. Not according to his time card from work. Not when I talk to his bosses. They say his break was 15 minutes and he took 25 minute breaks all the time. And he would leave early and come in late. The defense attorney's getting a little bit nervous. He has one more and he throws out there. He says he sacrifices. Prosecutor says, not according to his habits. Not according to his bank statement, it doesn't show he makes any sacrifices for God. Not according to his pleasures, he sacrifices all right, but not for God. What witness do we have that we are one of God's people to convince the world that we're one of God's people? See, we're a King James only church, but running around telling people that didn't impress them one bit. They didn't know what you're talking about. That might impress other believers. What's that mean? When we sacrifice to the Lord, when we live through faith and by obedience, we prove that we are indeed His people. This morning's message, when we trust God through trials, and even though everything else may fall apart, we're not looking at the messenger, we're paying attention to what God is trying to teach us. Not getting mad at the mailman, but accepting what God is putting us through. Cheerful. Joyous. Lastly, the witness would be that we are His prophets. Not only are we His people, but we are His prophets. The Bible says that Abel's influence, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, at the end there says, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. His influence lived way on. I mean, we're still talking about it today. He's been dead for a long time. Abel's testimony of faith and offering a more excellent offering unto God is still speaking, while his tongue has been silent for nearly the entire span of the earth. And here we are today talking about his faith. It's my desire for our church that we would not just make a difference in this generation, but that the generations to come, if the Lord tarries, would speak of the faith of the people of Harvest Baptist Church. That our young people in the nursery and in our junior church classes would talk about, yeah, you should have seen the church 15 years ago. And just the excitement and the mindset and the godly people. I mean, I'll never forget that one night I was sitting in church and Brian gave a testimony about praying over the steering wheel of a truck and God blessed. And Brother Chuck's testimony, other ones that we could share. That's what we want to pass on. That it's real. The offering of our lives would bear witness both now and in generations to come, that young men would plant churches and that couples would love and honor God, and that teenagers and young people would choose God over the evils of this world. And while all around us, the media and the movie and the entertainment industries, while they thrive and grow, so will God's people stand as a living testimony that there is a God in heaven and that He does bless and that you and I can trust Him and live by faith. And even when we're dead and gone, we being dead yet speaketh. We can talk about people just in this church who have passed away. And even though they're dead, yet still their faith resounds. How do we build that kind of a testimony? By offering our faith. By putting what we believe into practice. Living through faith and by faith in God will lead us to sacrifice for the Lord. The object of our faith offering. The measure of our faith offering. The witness of our faith offering. I want God to have all of me. And I want to offer it to God. And I want it to be a sacrifice. And I want it to be excellent. I want it to be obedient. And by that testimony of faith and by that offering of faith, I want people to know that I am one of God's children. And I want long after I'm gone for there to be a group of people that say, hey, many years ago, our pastor that started the church was a man that lived by faith. And the women and the men that were in that church were individuals that lived by faith. And they can see it and they can talk about it and they can measure it. And they can understand it. Just like we're reading about Abel here in verse 4. We can have that same type of faith that he had. What a challenge to us today. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed. What an amazing faith, an excellent faith that Abel had. But I dare say for some of us, we need to just start today on step number one. Does God have all of you? Does God have all of you today? Does God have your heart? It starts with giving yourself. Don't worry about giving God a bunch of other things and time and all that kind of stuff. Start with God having you. God needs to have all of you by faith. By faith, Abel offered. We ought to put your name in there. By your name,
by faith you're being offered. Does God have all of you?
The piano begins to play, the Holy Spirit speaking to you tonight, challenging you, motivating you, inspiring you.
Does God have all of you tonight?
Maybe there's an area of your life that you need to look at. Are you being obedient in giving? Cain's offering was disobedient. God said, sin lieth at the door. Is your offering one of obedience?
Amen.